He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. I got a list of sponsors here. So first off, we got Harito Bending, harito-bending.com. You're going to use promo code CHEERS for 10% off. And a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. So I appreciate that. You know, everybody wants to be on the Harito cert list. I haven't heard a bad thing about the quality of his bolts. I can personally say that they're the same every time. Some really hard bolts on there. You got certs for every style, including snapping. He's also got wraps and t-shirts on there. So definitely hit up HaritoBending.com and use the promo code CHEERS. Next, we got Jed Johnson's Nail Bending eBook. If you want to check this eBook out, if you're a beginner, message me for the link, because if you use this link, a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. We also have the Gripito Trainer. This is an all-in-one grip training tool. If you use promo code Beyond the Bend, you're going to save 15% off of a sale of $90 or more. We also have Gil, former guest, BarrelStrengthSystems.com. Use promo code Beyond for 10% off. Gil's got a ton of cool stuff on there, including the flask. This is a pinch device. If you can do a body weight pull-up on this thing, you're going to get on a roster. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Lastly, we have Hard Life Fightwear. That's hardlifefightwear.com or .co.uk. If you want some rash guards or something like that for jiu-jitsu, they also got a bunch of other cool t-shirts on there. You're going to use promo code Beyond the Bend for 15% off. Also, if you want to get on a roster, an unofficial roster, hit up at Eat Chalk Get Big on Instagram. If you bent an 80D unbraced or two 60Ds taped together unbraced, you're going to get on an unofficial roster. The other thing is, if you snapped a horseshoe, I don't need a video. I'm keeping track of people who have snapped horseshoes just because it's a cool thing to do. If you've also snapped one into three pieces, hit me up. Or if you've snapped one laying down, there's only two people on that list, so get on it. Last thing, a couple new things coming up. I'm going to be putting out a feat of the week. This isn't really a challenge more than just like something cool to do week by week. It's going to be just like some athletic stuff mixed with some bending and snapping. So I'm going to be putting that out. And the only way to participate is just to do it and then tag me in the post and throw it up on Instagram or Facebook. The other thing is every month, I'm going to be doing a monthly challenge. We've had some really good participation lately. I want to keep that going. I have some really cool things planned. So I really appreciate everybody's support and looking forward to another good year. All right, thanks. All right, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
All right, we'll start it like we always do. So why don't you take me back to the first time you remember seeing someone bend a piece of steel?
Oh, man. I was just out of high school, still living at home with my parents, going to college. And I was watching, I believe it was a show like Ripley's Believe It or Not. And it was Dennis Rogers. And watching him bend. That was the one that made the most impression on me. Is what he bent some items and tore phone books, and he was holding the two Harley Davidsons that were pulling on his elbows, and he was holding them back. And I was blown away just because he wasn't just a huge guy. I'd seen the strongman guys bend bars, you know, during the old World's Strongest Man competition. It didn't really resonate with me, although I knew those guys were strong. But once I saw Dennis do that, and I saw, like, man, he looks like a normal guy I'd see walking down the street, that was impressive.
Oh, man, that is cool. And that is something that is so, so neat when you start getting into this stuff, is like someone that might not look too impressive physically, but they're clearly strong as hell because they just bent a wrench, you know? And it's like, it definitely draws you in. It's like, it just like makes your mind kind of like bug out for a second, because obviously some mountain of a man is going to be able to do some damage to something. But then if you see a more average looking person be able to do this incredible feat of strength, it's certainly intriguing, to say the least.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And my coach is Robert Nedgedly, who's, and I know you've talked to him, he's 120 pounds soaking wet. And the guy is insanely strong. I've sat and watched him. I watched him paperclip a pony horseshoe. And he had never even tried it. And I said, do you think you can paperclip that? And he goes, I don't know, let's try. And he just smashed it to a perfect paperclip. And I've tried to do that, and there was no way. So, I mean, yeah, it's mind-blowing when you see the strength that some of the guys that are smaller in stature can really generate. The power they generate, it'll blow you away.
Yeah, Robert is a special guy, especially when it comes to horseshoes. Some of the most inspiring horseshoes I've seen done are certainly from him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've been fortunate to see him do it right here in my garage. And it's awesome to see it in person.
I bet. That's cool. So take me back to the beginning. Tell me about your athletic background growing up, if you had one, and kind of like what the twists and turns were leading you down the road of bending some steel.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I was very young, like 7, 8 years old, played peewee football. I was a late bloomer, so it didn't take long before everybody outgrew me, and I was more of the tackling dummy and getting run over. So I stopped with football. And started in martial arts when I believe I was 14 when I took my first martial arts class, and I was hooked. And I've been a martial artist ever since, and probably will be till the day I die, because the impact it made on my life is phenomenal. And I've got one of my sons following in those footsteps as well. And it definitely is life changing. And so I spent a lot of years in martial arts, Muay Thai, Kempo, did some boxing. My latest endeavor is I'm about to start presenting jiu-jitsu with my oldest son. Had some amateur fights in the ring that were really awesome, just to test myself to see how I would do in that environment. And I loved it. And now at 49, I'm going to get more into the grappling arts instead of the striking arts.
That's cool. That's a good plan, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Where does your son train down there?
He trains at Sampson Jiu-Jitsu Academy. Jason Sampson's the coach, and he's a Bellator veteran. His record as a pro fighter was 14-1.
Wow.
He's helped train UFC fighters. He's a phenomenal coach. He's changed my son's life. The guys.
That's cool. Do you know what his lineage is, like who he was under?
Well, he currently is under Carlos Machado.
Oh, okay. Yep.
He's part of Machado's organization.
Nice.
Which is, Carlos, Master Machado's, from what I understand, is the best of the best.
That's right there. Yeah, that's a good lineage.
To be this close to them.
And yeah.
It really has helped my son a lot.
Great. That's cool. So you're doing some martial arts, and you saw Dennis Rodgers back in the day. When was the point when you actually decided, hey, I want to try this stuff?
Well, it was March of 2018. I had just gone through a layoff at work. I'd been with the job for 22 years. It was kind of life shattering, honestly. And I was standing there watching my son at soccer practice and super frustrated. And I looked on my Facebook page, and Robert Nedgedly had friended me, or I had friended him. Somehow we got on the Facebook page together, and I saw one of the videos he posted. And so I was like, man, that is crazy, because he's a little guy. And so I opened his profile, saw he was in Fort Worth. And so I just messaged him and said, hey man, can you show me how to do this stuff? And it was, I think, a couple weeks later, he was in my garage and brought some horseshoes and some blue nails and 60Ds, and just started bending. And I think it was a week later, I went to the farrier and bought 2 or 3 boxes of horseshoes, and I've been addicted ever since.
Oh man, that's cool.
That's awesome.
So what was that first bending experience like? Did you start with the white and go to the green and the whole thing, or did Robert have you jump right on a 60D? Or
he handed me my very first bend was a St. Croix number 2, and he wrapped it up, because that was the one I was most intrigued with. It's like, how do you bend a horseshoe?
Yeah, definitely.
He wrapped a number 2 horseshoe and single suede, and showed me how to position it and hold it. And I smashed it to, I got half of a heart on my very first horseshoe. I got one leg all the way bent to a very nice heart shape. The other one, I just, my technique was off. And so I didn't get it, but I still have that horseshoe. And
that's cool.
Then he moved me to a 60D and I did it reverse bent, or not reverse, underhand.
Yep.
Bend. And I smashed that one relatively easy. So I'm like, okay. And then he handed me a blue nail and I tried double overhand on a blue and it did not budge. And I got real frustrated with it. I was like, that doesn't look like it'd be that hard, especially I watched Robert smash it and he was talking to me when I smashed it, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm a lot bigger than this guy and I can't even budge that blue nail. So it fired me up because I'm like, okay, if he can do it, I can do it. And ever since then I was walking around the house looking for stuff to bend and my wife was trying to hide her own little toolkit so I wouldn't try to bend her wrenches and stuff. So
yeah,
it was an awesome experience. I was hooked the minute I tried it.
That's cool. I think you're the first person I've talked to that did their first actual physical feat of bending was a horseshoe. That's cool. That's that is like, I felt like just because it's so unique and it almost seems like something that's even more like not supposed to be bent than than a steel bar. You know what I mean? Like when I first opened the one, that was just like a great feeling. Like I do with most things. I'm in the basement and then I run upstairs and show my wife whatever I bent. But yeah, that was a big moment. The first horseshoe.
Yeah.
And what's funny is like, and I bet you this happens a lot. And this is why I'm so glad I was able to put out that tip video from Tom Flesher, which has helped me and then a bunch of other people. But if you don't, I'm sure you know, or if you don't have those wraps right, you're just fighting yourself to the end, you know? And then the other thing is when I was like, all right, I'm going to set out to bend a horseshoe. I just went to Tractor Supply and picked up whatever horseshoe. I just thought a horseshoe was a horseshoe, you know? And
yeah, I learned that the hard way too.
Yeah, this like half inch, like diamond something or other that I still haven't even like moved at all.
Oh yeah, I've got some of those too that I thought, well, I'll just grab this one and bend it. And
yeah.
Didn't work.
That wrap thing is the most frustrating though. It's like that, yes. You'll never, I mean, I guess a guy that could do a barehanded one probably doesn't matter what the wraps do, but that was so frustrating. I was like in a pool of sweat for like 40 minutes.
Then you realize I just had it wrapped wrong and I was fighting against myself. Yeah, and I have done that. Luckily, you know, and I think my first bend being a horseshoe was because Robert was the one that showed me, and he is, a lot of people have said he's pound for pound the best shoe bender on the planet.
Yeah.
And so that being his forte, that's what I was introduced to first. And he was very quick to show me, if you have it wrapped wrong, you're going to kill yourself.
But, yeah.
and I even say when he wraps a shoe, we call it his magic wraps. It's just something about it. When Robert wraps a shoe, you know, I just do better. And I think it's just because I don't want to let my coach down.
Yeah.
He's really been instrumental in helping me with my shoes because the shoes are fun to me. And it bores people when you do it.
Yeah, that's cool. So you must have had some forearm and hand strength going if you did that on your first rip. So were you working with weights too, or was this strength just a foundation of martial arts for so many years?
Well, I've done some weights, some kettlebell. You know, I've been in corporate America, you know, forever it seems like. And so at my desk, when I'm at my cubicle and on Zoom meetings, I always had a gripper in my hand, whether it be a tennis ball or then I moved up to the Iron Mind grippers. And so I was always sitting there smashing a gripper while I'm at my desk because I'm just that type of guy. I got to be moving around. I go crazy. And so that really, really helped my forearm and grip strength and wrists. So I think that had a lot to do with it. And I started doing that when I was in martial arts as well. And doing pull-ups and that kind of thing. So I do a lot of body weight.
Nice. There's something I love about not that it doesn't make sense or anything, but the fact that Don's a lawyer and like you're in corporate business and anything, it's just like in my mind, and it's sweeping with a broad brush and stereotyping to some degree, but it's like, I feel like everybody should be a mechanic or something that's doing this kind of stuff. So I always get an extra little chuckle if the person has like a business job. It's fun.
Right. Absolutely.
So after you, after that night with Robert, where did your training go from there?
Well, from there, I was bending the horseshoes, and my goal was to heart a horseshoe. I didn't want to just open it. I told him, I want to heart a horseshoe, because that's what I saw him do. And I was like, that is insane.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Pat Povilaitis, you know, he's credited with being the man that invented that, hearting a horseshoe. Cool. And so that was very inspiring, because I went and started looking at some of the pictures of what Pat had done. And so I was like, I'm going to heart a horseshoe. And so I started hearting horseshoes in the garage, and got to where I perfected it, where they're all very symmetrical. And of course, if Pat or Robert, you know, heard me say that about a St. Croix number two, they're going to laugh and go, well, that's because those things are so soft, you know, because those guys are at such an elite level. But, and I was just throwing them in a bucket. And then I started bending 6-inch wrenches and throwing those in a bucket. Well, my wife is very craftsy, and she started taking them and making things out of these hearted horseshoes.
Oh, cool.
Since I'd been laid off, we were in a position where we needed money. So we started doing a big craft show in Fort Worth that they have twice a year. And we would show up, set up this booth with all these signs we made, that hearted horseshoes. And I was making man cave signs with the 6-inch wrenches and 8-inch wrenches that were bent in hooks like hat racks. And,
oh, fun.
And I put a big sign up that said, all horseshoes and wrenches are bent by hand using no heat, no tools. And I was standing outside my booth, and this real big old lumberjack looking guy comes up, and he kind of elbows me, and he points at the sign. He goes, I'd like to meet the man that says he can do that. And so I stuck my hand out, and I said, I'm Brian McCormick, nice to meet you. And he just said, he goes, no offense. He said, you're a little guy, there's no way. And so I started doing demos and bending the horseshoes in front of people, you know, in front of my booth rather, for people to see. And it was amazing. You know, just the people I would meet from that, and they really loved it. And, you know, and I'd always bend one and then give it to a little kid or somebody that was there in the audience. And I saw the impact it had on people and how that they enjoyed something like that. And I would always make it a point to tell the little kids, I'd go, now look, you know, you thought that was impossible till you saw it done. So keep that in mind next time. And I'd give it to him. I'd say, next time you think something's impossible, you look at that hearted horseshoe and know that you can do it.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
You know, it, that's kind of the direction I went with it. And I was actually going to start trying to speak at schools and talk to kids about, you know, confidence and anti-bullying and, you know, with my martial arts background, and then and grab their attention with the strongman stuff. And of course, then COVID had a different plan. So
yeah.
So now, you know, that's all on hold. But I still want to use that as a method of helping younger kids realize that don't put a cap on what they think they can accomplish.
Yeah, definitely.
Greatness within them, and they can overcome and actually do far more than they even think they can.
Yep. Yeah, that's really cool. I hope that happens for you. Thank you. It's so interesting, like the idea of strength feats, right? It's like being exposed to that, like through. So like my pathway, I probably said on the show 100 times, but former guest Daniel Strauss, who's a British black belt in jiu-jitsu, does a whole bunch of different, he just incorporates a lot of like old time strongman type training into his strength training. And this is just like, just seeing these odd movements and stuff that looked harder than, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying a 700-pound deadlift does not look hard, you right. know, but there's just something different about these odd feats of strength that's so, like, enticing that just makes you want to try it that much more. Like, you just want to see how it feels, and I think that's real cool. That's just, like, funny to think of you at the trade show bending horseshoes and people coming up.
Yeah. I didn't worry about other people in the show having similar products in their booth because they, it floored them. And I always had a display table out in front that would have a hammer that I'd bent into an S, and paperclip diamond special shoes that I had done, and penny that I folded in half, and my horseshoe that I snapped, and just some of the, you know, frying pan that I rolled up. And I had it all just sitting out on display.
Yeah.
And people were just floored. The one that probably got them the most was like the 10-inch wrench. I those into a unit. Nice. And they were like, these are not supposed to bend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, trust me, that one didn't want to. It fought me the whole way. But it really is neat just to see their eyes when they see something like that. It just floors them.
Definitely. So you're talking about using your martial arts background as like a foundation for speaking to the kids and mixing in the strengths of feats of strength and things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd like to talk about that a little bit because I've been involved in martial arts ever since I was like, I guess like when I turned 20, like right as I was old enough to drive and kind of like pay for it myself. That's like, I always wanted to do it, but it just wasn't like in the cards as a kid. So I just started exposing myself to a bunch of martial arts when I was 20 and then settled on jiu-jitsu when I was 22, I think.
Good choice.
And I did some striking here or there and stuff. In fact, actually having this long layoff from training, I've really had a lot of time to think about myself as a martial artist and stuff like that. I think when I go back, I'm definitely going to be doing some more striking and stuff because I got so specialized in the ground.
Right.
That like what I am now is not necessarily, I think, of what like 14-year-old Cody would want his adult martial arts self to be, you know, like I think I need to round myself out to be like a more well-rounded fighter in a greater sense.
Awesome.
But I'm off on a tangent here. So what do you think that martial arts taught you? And I'm just wondering if it's the same kind of thing for me. So what I'm saying is through repetition and just trusting the process, like of being bad at something and then putting in the hours and the hours and the hours and the hours and just acquiring skill over a little bit. I think I was able to take that and just knowing that that's how you develop skill at something and then take it to the bending and take it to the lifting. So.
Yeah, very much the same experience. You know, obviously I was very young. Well, I say very young. I was 14 when I started training. My parents put me in there because I lived in a rough town, a lot of bullies. And what's funny is I didn't really have to do a lot of fighting. Once I started taking martial arts, it boosted my confidence enough. I was still a horrible fighter. But just for the fact that I was confident and I wasn't backing down, the bullying stopped. So it wasn't that, you know, I'm in there, you know, throwing knuckles every day and fighting off, you know, the bullies. Really didn't have to. It's just what they saw, I guess, was an attitude change. And that, you know, I wasn't going to be bullied anymore. And it's just like you mentioned, when I first started martial arts, it was the most uncomfortable. I didn't know how to do the stance. Heck, I couldn't tie the belt. You know, I felt very out of place. And it was through just sticking through, going through those pain points, sticking with it and getting that I'm not going to quit attitude. Then you start you having those little aha moments where things really click and you're like, man, I've been practicing it forever and it's always been horrible, but that one was solid. You know, that technique turned out great.
Yeah.
And then you just keep building on that. And it was the exact same thing with bending horseshoes and bending steel. You know, I bent that 60D nail and I thought, man, this is easy stuff. And then he handed me that blue nail and double overhand, it didn't budge. Well, I just kept practicing it. I went and bought two big bundles from Iron Mind of just blue nails. And I said, I'm going to bend every one of these or I'm going to die trying. So then it got to where blue nails were a piece of cake. And then my 16-year-old son bent one. So I'm like, okay, here I was at 48 struggling to bend one. But he saw, okay, well, this is possible. And then he did it. So it was just a very similar process, like you mentioned, to martial arts. You got to go through that uncomfortable moments, feeling like a dummy when my coach, it's 120 pounds, is sitting there smashing steel that I can't budge. And just knowing, I'm going to get this and I'm not going to quit. Yeah. And it's really attitude, in my opinion. A lot of
attitude and like, obsession gives a negative connotation, right? But it's like it's like you hear people say like I want to do this or that and I like and they're not doing it and I kind of just want to be like well, how much are you thinking about this thing? You know, like, what are you doing? Like, because I know for me, when it's when I'm into something, I got to remove the thought of that thing to think about something I need to think about. You know,
yeah, I'm usually like, all in. Yeah, I go all in.
I'm
yeah.
laying in bed, like thinking about the next thing I'm going to bend or whatever. It's like, no doubt. It doesn't go away. And I'm starting to realize, because I've never really been this dedicated to anything else besides jujitsu. And I'm starting to realize this is the way that, you know, I brought it up in the show before, this like the samurai talked about, you know, like once you understand the way, you see it in all things. Yes. The way is think about it every goddamn minute of the day to where you just have to do it and you put in hours and hours and hours. You know?
Absolutely. You know, and everybody I've ever met, I don't care what they're successful in. I've met guys that are worth many, many millions of dollars, all the way to guys that, you know, their claim to fame is they can wrap steel, you know, they can bend steel into knots. The one thing that they all have is that dedication and that single-minded focus on, I am going to achieve this and nothing's going to stop me. And you know what? You get a man or woman that is that dedicated to achieving a goal, whether it's bending a piece of steel or starting a business or whatever, they're going to be hard pressed to stop. They're not going to quit until they make it. Yeah. And so that's what I really love about steel bending, because man, it sure does test you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got the bundles of blues, and yes. What was like a normal training week looking like for you then? Were you scheduled out or were you just kind of doing it by feel?
I was doing it by feel at first, but then once we did start making those products that we were selling to clients, to customers, I would go out there and I would just have a bulk bending day, because I would say, okay, I need to get this many horseshoes hearted and different sizes of horseshoes. Cool. And this many 6-inch wrenches, this many 8-inch wrenches. And I would have days where I'd go out there in the garage and I'd heart 26 horseshoes and bend like 9 wrenches.
Wow.
And then I would be wiped out. And then a couple of days later, I'd have to do it again. So I had a lot of bulk bending involved. I'd go buy a bunch of 60D nails and, you know, just bend a bunch of those at once. Nothing like what I see Don do. That guy is just on another level. So I was doing a lot of bulk bending. We've since stopped making all those products. So now I do it more for fun again.
Yeah.
And I'm venturing out and trying to do heavier shoes, and I'm chasing that red.
Nice.
I have bent the red in single suede before, but when I measured the wrap, it was long. And so it doesn't count, right? You know, it's gotta be a standard size wrap. And then doing it in Ironmind pads, I just can't even fathom that right now. But that's certainly one of my goals, is I want to certify on the red.
Yeah. You know, it's funny is listening to you talk about those bulk bending days. It's like you almost took it like truly full circle, because we're doing this thing that's almost like representative of like tradesmen that of yesteryear, right? Like right. Bending things with our hands, and now we've taken it to like the sport and the feet of strength type thing. But then taking it then again to like, you almost went back to a trade, because you're selling yeah. these cool crafts and you're out there like doing it by hand. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had to pay my bills and feed my family. So yeah, I was out there, like you said, I was doing that for money, and it sure did motivate me to make sure that every heart looked perfect, because you know, when yeah. people buy it, they want it to look good. And so yeah, but yeah, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, I did kind of come full circle.
That's cool. So one thing that you did, you touched on it just a minute ago, that is something on my list of things to do, and I've definitely put in a few hours grunting over this one, is the penny bend. I got to hear you talk about this one. I think that's such a cool feat.
I tell you what, and it was harder than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, Robert is the one that showed that to me as well. And he has this tiny piece of suede. I mean, it's a little bitty piece of suede, and he wraps it in there and he smashed it. Of course, we're leg crushing it at the same time. And
yeah,
man, my hands hurt so bad after I was doing that. but actually I have it right here, and I know you probably can't see it, but it's,
yeah. Oh yeah, I can see it.
Taco. I keep it on my desk. That's another thing I keep to motivate me to do,
yeah,
do better. But that one was tough. And my, man, my hands were sore for a couple of days afterwards. The palms of my hand were just, I mean, it was just brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it was a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be.
So was that a thinner piece of suede, or was that just like a regular wrap that he cut into a small square?
It was an old, it was just an old wrap from one that was kind of torn up. And so he just cut that patch out, and, okay, and he gave it, he had several pieces of just old wrap, and he gave me one of them. And I watched him bend one, and then, and I started trying it, and and did it. Now, I've seen guys where they actually use their thumb and bend it. And I saw Chris Ryder do that, where he bent one, and I don't know how he did that.
Really? I've seen guys do the teeth, which like makes my mouth hurt for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. But so I don't know how some of those guys do that. So yeah, it,
wow.
Yeah, some of these guys, they take these feats so far past what I can comprehend. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Is it any penny, or is it pennies up to a certain year? Because I know the, like, the whatever they're made with, like the, that changes as things go on.
It does. And I'm not sure. I don't even know what year this one is. I know that, I don't think this was one of the copper pennies. I think this is a newer penny.
Okay.
Because it's got little splits in it. And I know Robert told me that if it's, if it gets those little splits, that, you know, the copper ones bend nicer, but I also tougher to bend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I haven't tried one of those yet. I can just imagine that if it's tougher than that one, my hands are really going to hurt. But
wow.
But yeah, so the newer ones, he says, are easier to bend than the older real copper ones.
Oh, okay. I haven't tried it in a while. I have to go back to that. And
he bent a quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, and a dime. He also did a dime. That guy, he's insane. He's so
can't even picture like gripping the dime. That's like
he puts it between the palm of his hands and snaps. It, but man, it's, I don't know how he does it.
Wow, that's crazy. So you you got the red and some oversized suedes. What else do we have on the horizon for goals for you?
Well, the there's bigger size horseshoes that I want to heart, and I'm actually making a board that has every size of horseshoe that I've been able to twist into a heart.
Nice.
And I've got the ultralights, I've done all of those, and I'm on the light rim now, and I hearted a light rim number 3, and I'm going to do the 2 and the 1 as well, and the nice. 0. I've also hearted the diamond special number 2, and the 0 and the 000. So I'm just building out the more difficult shoes.
Yeah.
Those will humble you real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm working on, really the red is probably my biggest goal. I would love to certify the red, but horseshoes are my favorite. And so I want to try to snap another horseshoe as well.
Nice.
A powdered horseshoe.
Yeah.
I did twist a number 2 into a heart 100% by hand, no wraps. And that was challenging. I just chalked up my hands and
awesome
and hearted it. So I'd like to do that again. It's kind of like you said, it's so addicting. It's hard to just say, here's my next goal.
Yeah.
There's so many things I want to try.
Yeah.
I think the red is going to be the one that I zero in on the most.
Nice. Yeah. The barehanded horseshoe bend. That's something I'd like to get down the line. I sort of cycle through where I like, that's one that I've said it before, but it's worth saying again, especially for newer people, is like, there's so many ways to go with this thing, man. It's like, especially if you do mix in the snapping and horseshoes, we're talking about a lot of facets to like satisfy your bending urges. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You're addicted.
I sort of like, if I get burnt out on horseshoes or they're like ripping up my hands too much, then I'll go do something else. And I like that about this, you know, that it's like, you can kind of stay interested because of all the different lengths of things, and like I said, mix the snapping in, and then you got a whole other area to play with. It's so cool, like that.
Oh, I've seen guys doing, you know, they've moved into scrolling, and some of the things I've seen people do scrolling is, it's amazing. So yeah, I mean, it's really, there's never ending list of opportunities for what you can try. And that's another thing I love about it. Just when I start thinking, you know, man, I've really accomplished something, I'll be on one of the Facebook pages and I'll see something that any of the guys has done. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, like I snapped that horseshoe. I really thought that was something else. And then I saw a video of a guy on Facebook that snapped one in less than a minute.
Yeah, that's my friend, Dave Nisbet. Yeah.
That guy is something else. I was, you know, I was impressed. I saw that and I'm like, okay, one, I'm not shaking his hand because he'd probably crush my hand, but that was impressive. That guy is very strong.
Yeah, very, very strong guy. Yes. Lots of power, lots of good strength background. He helps me a lot, sort of behind the scenes with my own strength training and his understanding of just like creating tension and torque in the body is really high level. So
absolutely, you can tell.
Did you see that he took I'm not sure what model horseshoe, but he took it to heart, but then doubled it back over again. So it was like a major twist. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that and I went out the very next day and I said, I'm going to try that. I went to an utter fail, but and it was just with a St. Croix ultralight number 2.
Yeah.
And I did the traditional open it, smashed it, but I could not get that second twist. I don't know how he did it. Well, I mean, he's just phenomenally strong. I mean,
yeah. Around that. Yeah, and I gotta give a shout out to former guest Amir snapping a horseshoe while laying down. That's brutal feat, and
that's insane.
Still, so I'm keeping track of who's snapping horseshoes, and there's a spot for snapping a horseshoe in 3 pieces there, and then there's also one for snapping one while lying down, and I think that's just Amir and Dave on that list so far. So yeah, that is a brutal feat.
Yeah, that is very brutal.
So I'd like to get your thoughts on farm strength and functional strength. This is like just a staple question of the show. It always comes up and I always get something out of what everybody says about it. Right. It's just like, there's something different about what we're doing and what we're talking about than lifting something in a linear fashion that is just meant to, you know, go from point A to point B.
Right.
We're talking about strength from very odd angles, harding a horseshoe. We're talking about grip, wrist strength, forearm strength. Then you're moving in and using your legs to assist on the crush. We're talking about odd angle strength. So I'd just like to know what your theory is on that.
Well, it definitely, and that's what I refer to it when I'm talking to my son is functional strength. And this is certainly not to take away from the guys that are the heavy lifters, very impressive feats. And those guys are phenomenally strong. And if they were to put the effort into doing this odd angle bending, I'm sure they'd be phenomenal at that as well.
100%.
I think it is very applicable to real life. And it's unusual. And I think, you know, I'm not the type of guy that's going to be able to deadlift 1,000 pounds. Like, you know, that guy, they call him the beast, Eddie Hall.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do the same thing Eddie Hall does.
Yeah.
But I can bend a horseshoe. I can see some of the bends that Don does, and it's inspiring to me where if I see some of those humongous world record weight lifting feats, I never even want to try that because I know I'm so far away from it. Yeah. One thing I do like about the strongman community is, you know, the first time I bent a blue nail, I had guys like Chris Ryder and Don Cummings and, you know, big name guys that have accomplished far more than I will ever accomplish are coming out and congratulating me when I posted about it.
Yeah. Like,
oh, great, Ben. That's awesome. Keep going. It's a very supportive group. And I saw that in person the day that Tanner Merkel, he broke the world record with the crush of the with the Ironman number 4, and I'm forgetting what it's called, but Silver Bullet, yeah. And I was there when he did it, and wow. Clay Edgen and Adam Glass and Tommy Jennings and Robert and all these guys are there. And, you know, we just watched Tanner do that, you know, makes everybody else in the room look weak. But then the next guy that came up and tried to do it with the number 3, and he didn't hold it as long as Tanner did with the number 4, but everybody was still supporting him.
Yeah. And
encouraging him. So it's really an awesome community.
Yeah,
you it encourages you to develop your strength to be the best you can be. Yeah. And so I don't feel like I'm competing with Don Cummings. No. I'm just competing with myself.
Yeah, definitely.
But I know I kind of went off on a tangent away from the farm strength versus the other strength.
No, that's good.
You have to be strong in your whole body to do these odd angle feats. It'll point out where you're weak very quickly otherwise.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
Being able to push past that and you start seeing, you know, when I did my first overhand bend, I got to where I could bend it to, you know, maybe, I don't know, 60, 70 degrees or so. And then I locked up and the next one, the same place. And then finally I felt it go. And I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get stronger at these odd angles.
Yeah.
And it helped with my body weight, you know, when I'm doing pull-ups, dips, you know, push-ups. And when I was grappling with my son, I know nothing about jujitsu, but I was strong at some of these odd angles, and my grip and my wrist and forearms were strong that I could at least hold him away from me, you know, for at least 30 seconds before he choked me out.
Yeah.
I think that the strongman feats are very applicable to real life.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to go back to talking about the community. I think that's such a good thing that you brought up, and I agree wholeheartedly. And it's like, it's interesting because there certainly is, like, I'd say that we all are competitive people to some degree because we are constantly pushing the envelope. This is essentially a sport, if you might call it that, where we're basically trying to go for a PR almost every workout. Like we're trying to push the envelope every time. And then, like we said, you saw Dave do the double twist in a horseshoe, you want to go try it. So, and I mean, that's, I love that. And I do that stuff myself. It's like, I see the first time I saw someone, whatever, I don't even know. There's been so many things, it's hard to name one, but it's like, you just want to go try it yourself. So that's like somewhat competitive in a sense, but then you're right. Everybody is so supportive, and everybody, even bending their first 60D, people are reposting this and giving congratulations. Yeah, I mean, the fact that everybody was so cool, that really made me want to start doing this show, even as somewhat of a beginner. When I started, it was just like, this is such a unique and cool community. I felt like there needed to be something that was like showing that, you know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. And I think what you're doing with the show is amazing. And I think it's really a tremendous asset to the community. And I'm looking forward to seeing it grow for you.
Yeah, thanks so much. I've gotten a few nice comments from guys that haven't been bending much, and they're getting back into it recently. And just, they said like the stuff that I'm doing with the show was inspiring them and getting them fired up to bend again. And that's like the sole purpose of this. It's just like, that makes me so happy when people say, oh, I listened to the podcast and I got fired up to go bend, you know, that's like goal number one, you know?
Very cool. Yeah. It's awesome.
All right. So we're starting to get towards the end of the show. We're going to hit you with the medley. So rapid fire series of questions. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. Favorite thing to bend?
Horseshoes. Love them.
All right. Hardest thing to bend for you?
Short bars, double overhand. That's my weakness right now.
On that, do you find that it's just a positioning thing?
I do struggle with the position. I keep falling down to more chest level. When Roberts told me 100 times, he goes, man, get it up higher, you'll get more leverage. And I think it just boils down to I'm just weak at that, and I need to just keep developing it and practicing the technique.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing with some of the 60D. I would just do bulk bends with that, and because I'm comfortable getting it up high to bend with the 60D.
Yeah.
But then when I start getting the harder bars, my hands start dropping. And that this doesn't work for me. So, that's my weakness right now.
What's your second strength? Do you prefer reverse or double under? Besides that,
I've done well doing double underhand.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever bent 60D was double underhand, and it was, I felt very easy to do that.
Uh-huh.
Reverse, I haven't done a lot of that. I've done blue nail, you know, reverse, but I watched I saw a red nail that Adam Glass did reverse grip, and he was putting an S in that thing. Yeah. And yeah, I couldn't do that at all. But so I haven't done enough reverse to, you know, with that, I definitely need to practice with it. Double overhand though is kind of you got to qualify for the red nail. You need to be double overhand to be able to get it. And so that's definitely an area of focus for me.
Nice. Yeah. A couple guys, I'll send you the links after we're done, but for those tip videos that I've been having some of the guests do, a few guys talked about the positioning on the double overhand, because that certainly is something most people struggle with. Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Beast on double overhand.
Definitely. Yeah. He's got the wingspan.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, me either. I actually feel more comfortable with a 6-inch bar than I do a 7, there, just because of my shoulder mobility.
Yeah, mine as well.
All right, so we said strongest bending style for you, that'd be the double overhand. We just kind of covered these two questions.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, something outside of strength training, bending, all this kind of stuff that you enjoy doing, something unrelated to this world.
Unrelated to that, it's going to fall right back into martial arts.
Nice.
Yeah, I love martial arts and everything about it, from the cheesy movies to the books, the magazine, just everything. I've been in just obsessed with it since I was 14 years old. And
yep.
Yeah, that's my vice.
Stuff, I swear, like movie, I'm a sucker for action movies, I don't have great taste in movies, to be quite honest. Like, I just like any type of action movie.
Me too.
I can talk music.
I love them all. Yep.
Like, I know I could talk music with people and be respectable about that. Like, my depth with music is pretty respectable or whatever. But when it comes to movies, I just like action movies.
Yeah, I love them, all of them. Yep.
And even if it's the most unrealistic thing, absolutely, I'll watch it. Like, even if I know firsthand that stuff's not going to work, I still love watching it.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Absolutely. It's good entertainment.
Yep, definitely. What's the one bend that's gotten away so far?
That's my red nail.
All right. I
haven't been able to conquer that bad boy yet.
Nice. Who's the strongest person that you know?
Wow. That runs the gamut from, my parents are incredibly strong. In obviously in different ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strength there that they passed down to me and my brother. Pound for pound, bending wise, I've got to give it to Robert. That guy is bending that I couldn't imagine. And then of course, just, I've never met him, but he is a legend. Pat Povilaitis.
Yeah.
168 pounds. I was watching him do things that I didn't think were humanly possible. And yeah, that guy's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Best piece of advice you're ever given?
Don't give up on yourself. And that's come from my parents, from my martial arts instructors, and now I've passed it on to my boys. And when I was teaching martial arts, the same thing, you're going to have moments where life just kicks you in the teeth. And you feel like, that's it, I can't do this. Or taking it beyond bending. Which ironically is the name of the show, Beyond the Bend. But but taking it beyond bending, I see too much people giving up on themselves, especially with kids. And that's why I want to get out and I want to talk to kids. Because if they realize the true potential that's inside them, they would not give up. And so I think that's the best piece of advice that I've been given. And that's certainly the advice that I want to help pass on.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff is so important. Like, I hope you're able to do that with the kids. I think that's so cool. And something like that could have such a huge impact. I mean, it could have an impact on anyone, really, but kids especially. And are you aware, do you know who Jocko Willink is?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
he's come and trained at the jiu-jitsu school right down the street. He's friends with the instructor there. Yes.
Oh, cool. So Jocko has some kids' books, and my son is way into these things, and they're just the greatest books. And it's like, that has led for this foundation of, like, embrace the struggle, like all this stuff. And it's like through the bending, and we got into like rucking with weight because of a David Horn challenge this winter. So like we're on these long hikes with weighted packs, and I'm telling them, like, you know, down the line, there's going to be hard stuff in your life, but you're going to be able to think back at a time my dad made me hike X amount of miles with weighted pack. And you're going to be like, well, it's not as hard as that was. Exactly. And, you know.
Yeah. And we've read all those books by Jocko, and I had my
book.
I went and bought all of them and stacked them up and said, you're going to read all these this summer. And I read them too. And man, honestly, I love them.
Me too.
So yeah, that's another thing I would encourage anybody that's got a child, a boy or girl. Have them read those books, because they're awesome. Jocko, he hit a home run with those books.
He is such an inspiring guy for people of all ages.
Yes.
Those prompted so many good conversations. Like right before my son Caden would be like going to bed, we'd read some of this book, and you know, we'd wind up talking about, like, he'd ask what integrity is and all that, you know, stuff like that maybe wouldn't come up just in regular pace of life. And it's just, I can't say enough about those Warrior Kid books.
Well, that tells me that you're a good dad, that you sat there and had time to have that conversation with your boy. I think if more dads did that, we wouldn't have the issue with kids that are worrying about, you know, committing suicide over somebody calling them a name on social media or something so ridiculous like that. And teaching our kids, you know, integrity and determination and persistence. Yeah. And like I said, just don't give up on yourself. That's critical. That's going to stick with them for life.
Yep. Yeah. That's that base in martial arts, you know, that teaches you, like, it's just, it really is such an important thing. And, you know, like, especially once you get, you already know with your son, I'm sure, but jiu-jitsu is such an interesting world, because it is, like, compared to the more traditional martial arts, we're talking about a pretty relaxed martial arts culture, but there's so much respect, and the hierarchy of things gets worked out with any words spoken just based on, like, people's skill, ability, and this and that. And no, like, they all say, like, check the ego at the door and this and all these funny cliches, but they're all true, because someone could come in, the most egotistical person, say they're undefeated in 500 street fights or whatever, and then they get murdered by, like, your son, probably.
Purple belt mat enforcer comes out there that's hungry for that brown, and
wants
to show that he's got it, and goes out there and just destroys him. Yeah, I've seen that.
and then that person is at the crossroads. It's like, where do I embrace that I'm not good at this and just figure out how to be, or do I leave and pretend that this thing doesn't exist? And I've drawn that parallel with bending too. It's like, I'm sure a bunch of people have, like, gone, maybe got it up to blue, or maybe not, maybe their first thing, and they failed on it, and they go, like, all right, well, this is, like, not for me, and just bail on it, you know. They just pretend like that it doesn't exist, and they didn't embrace that struggle. And that's what the beautiful thing about martial arts is. And I think by, like, reading a book like from Jocko or something like that, and just making it cool, you know, like, I brought it up before, but I think you'd appreciate it too. It's like, my son and I have this mantra of, like, it's only cool because it's hard. Cause he'll get starting to get bummed and annoyed with things. Yeah. And I go, Caden, like, it's only cool because it is hard. If it was easy, every soft person in the world would do it, and it would no longer be cool. So the fact that you're struggling with it is great.
You know? That's awesome. That's great advice. Yeah. And I've said similar things to my son. There's been, when he first started jiu-jitsu, I could tell, he's like, this sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But I told him, I said, you stick with this. I said, and you're going to be in the top 0.1%, you know, and not so much in just fighting, but just attitude. And I've watched it change him. And my other son, he's, in seventh grade, they had him take the college entrance exam.
Wow.
Because he's got that same level of determination and strength. And I think it's just because of, you know, my martial arts background of passing that, don't give up on yourself and don't put limitations on what you can accomplish.
Yeah.
you know, if I did one thing right, my wife and I, that's what we did, because we've got two boys that think that they can literally take on the world.
But
they do it with respect because of the martial arts background and sports background that my other son was a soccer player. So they do it with respect, but they also have a fierce determination to them. And I'm proud to see that in them.
And
you need to see more of that.
Yep. That's so great. And the other thing with the martial arts too, as just like as a cultural thing, is I feel like if more people experience that struggle, there'd just be so much less bravado, people fronting like this and that. Like, you always know like the toughest guy in the room because he's not like, he doesn't have any ego, you know, he has nothing to prove because he's been in there with real tough people, you know?
Right. And I've listened to Carlos Machado talk, and he is a perfect example of that. He's not a big imposing man.
Right.
But he is also very quiet, very soft-spoken, and very humble. And, yep. You know, I've never met anybody that didn't love the guy. I've had the opportunity to meet him in person yet. I fully expect to, but everything I've heard about him is phenomenal. And that guy's got the ability to hurt pretty much anybody he gets his hands on.
Yeah.
But he has nothing to prove. And that's same thing like with a Don Cummings. You know, I'm not shy on Facebook. If I see some guys great at a bend, I'm messaging him, how did you do that, man? Because I suck at that.
Yeah.
Everybody has been great at responding, and they don't say, well, I'm not going to talk to you because, you know, you're beneath me.
Yeah.
It's a lot of similarities between the steel bending and martial arts. It's crazy.
100%. I don't think I would have been able to do this show if I didn't find such similarities between the two. And I don't think I'd be into it as deeply as I am if I didn't find deep similarities between the two. It's very interesting because to look at it just like at face value, you wouldn't think there is too much relation. But there really is. And that's the, like, the through line, the thing that makes me feel not crazy is the fact that they ultimately are related because of the old time strongmen were grapplers, and they were doing feats of strength, and they were in the physical culture thing. And we're not just like weirdos into random things. Stuff is all connected, you know?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And yeah, that's true. A lot of them, they were hardcore fighters back then.
Yeah.
When they grappled back then, it was a lot different than some of the softer stuff you may see today.
Oh, definitely. I just ordered a Farmer Burns book. It's coming any day. And he's one of the most interesting people. I've researched him very, very much. And he was definitely an inspiration to like look deeper into the old time strongman. So I'm really looking forward to getting that book.
Tough guy. Yes, I've read about him as well. Very
definitely
very impressive.
All right. What's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spend your time bending horseshoes and nails?
Oh gosh. Especially doing it in those shows in front of large groups. There are some that just scratch their head and go, why did you do that? Like when they saw the hammer, I've got it right here, this hammer that I bent into an S.
Yeah.
They're like, why did you waste that hammer? But then I have others that, you know, they just go, oh my gosh, how in the world do you do that? And you can just tell they're just totally amazed.
Yeah.
But the funniest ones are the ones that go, you just ruined a good wrench or you ruined a good hammer, you know, and those always make me laugh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I dealt with, when I did first couple wrenches, I dealt with all of my training partners giving funny comments about like, oh, now you'll be able to get those hard to reach bolts and things.
Yeah,
like,
I've heard all that too.
Everybody's a comedian.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
Man, that's the great thing about this community is I think you're going to have never ending content from the veterans, like we've talked about, the Dennis Rogers, the Pat Povilaitis, those guys that really forged the way for us and inspired all of us, all the way to some of the new guys, like the couple of guys that push me. And I think do a good job of pushing each other's Bobby Wilson. He's on active on all the Facebook pages, and he does a great job of pushing me and inspiring me. And then Taylor Zumwalt,
Okay, yep.
A good friend of mine. In fact, I was there when he bent his first horseshoe and tore his first deck of cards.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a young guy. He's 24, 25, and he is hungry to make some accomplishments in the strongman community. Nice. So everybody from the veterans to the new guys, because I think everybody brings something to the table.
Yeah.
And some of us new guys that maybe aren't accomplishing the great big feats yet, maybe you'll inspire some of these older guys to stay at it and keep inspiring us. So I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, no, that I knew from day one that I didn't want it to just be the heavy hitters. Like I knew I'd run out of people eventually.
Right,
and
right.
Two, I wanted everyone to feel represented, you know, like, and I also felt like me being newer, that it just made sense to also have like some of my peers on and whatnot. And so far it seems good. Like there's no one that's been like, oh, why do you have a beginner on? You know, right. I think it's such an interesting thing that we're doing, such a unique thing that the person's going to be interesting to speak to, if nothing else. You know, it's like, it's only been interesting people I've spoken to.
Well, and that's awesome. And that's, you know, again, just a testament to the great community.
Yeah.
You know, everybody backs everybody up and everybody's proud of what they accomplish, but, they also know that you can't have an ego in this, because there's going to be somebody right next to you that's going to make your bend look weak.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so small that I haven't really seen it yet, but I'd hate to see someone come in and have an ego and then sort of just like, I mean, everyone would know so quickly that you weren't like playing ball, that it would just be kind of sad, you know?
Yeah,
it's too small for that.
Right. And I think you get people like that they come in here and they do have an ego and it all revolves around them. They're going to drift away from the community.
Yeah.
They're just not going to be accepted. And it's just not going to be something that's going to feed that ego enough for them. So I think they would drift off on their own.
Yeah.
And hopefully that doesn't happen, because I think I'd love to see this grow. And I think ego is something that, for the time that we're in, I think the show you're doing is perfect.
And yeah, thank you.
Shine a bright light on the strongman community, and I look forward to seeing it grow to, you know, who knows how big it can get.
Thanks so much.
You bet, man. You bet.
All right, tips and advice for beginner benders.
Listen to your body. You know, there's been a lot of people that I've heard that pushing it too hard, and then they have injuries, and that's going to set you back, you know, 6 months. Listen to your body. And listen to your coach. Always, I say, get a coach and then listen to the coach. And beyond that, you know, nature of the beast, you want to push yourself beyond your limits. Do that, but do it in a smart way. You know, if you know, okay, I felt something pop, or I know this is really beyond my abilities at this point in time, take it easy. And what you'll find is, in doing that, you're going to progress much faster than if you were really overdoing it. So listen to your body, listen to your coach.
Yep, definitely. All right. And where can people find you on social media and stuff like that if they have questions?
I am on Facebook under my name, Brian McCormick. I do have an Instagram account. I'll be honest with you, I haven't been on there in quite some time. I do want to get more active. I've actually got something in the works. I turned 49 this year, and I'm going to push myself from birthday to birthday just to show what you can accomplish at 50 years old.
Nice.
So I've got something coming out January 29th. I'm going to start doing workouts. I'm going to start bending. I'm going to accomplish things so that my goal is to take the age excuse away from people.
Awesome. That's cool.
Age is just a number. And just like you mentioned, it's attitude and determination. You can accomplish more than you ever realized.
Definitely. Yeah, you got to get on Instagram. That's where I'm most active with the show.
Absolutely. You got it, man. Yeah, I'll absolutely get more active on there.
And I started doing these things called, in addition, so I do basically like a competition each month, where that's like a running competition or challenge.
Right.
And this month for January, it's minimal hits. So in honor of Brett Bracken closing one in Red Nail and two hits, I figured Let's see what people can do. So you can do a 60D, a grade 5, a red nail, or an edge and bolt. And just see how many hits, any style, how many hits till close, and the time counts. And if there's a tie, the time will determine who's ahead for that one. So that's cool. That's going on.
Awesome.
And then
that's awesome.
I don't know if you saw it this week. I put a challenge up. So I'm doing feat of the week too, to just keep people motivated. So every week there'll be a new feat, and I'm going to incorporate a lot of snapping into this one too, because I know a lot of guys are into that. I like doing that too. But this week it's just do a bend of your choice using anything but proper wraps. So I just took like a dish towel and wrapped did a 60D like that. Don did a red nail and a dish towel.
The guy's crazy. Yeah.
Squeezes Gil Goodman did a grade 2 bolt. He just took his hat off and then bent it in his hat. Who else? There's been a couple other. The dude from Austria. What's his name? Florian something.
Oh, okay.
He did a reverse bend on a big bolt just using paper towels. So it's been a cool thing. So if you feel inspired this week,
That's pushing me. I need to get out there and bend.
Yeah, wrap something up with something weird.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely, man. That's awesome. I like what you're doing for it, man. You're really,
Just keep awesome. It. It keeps the show on people's mind, but it also like keeps people like interacting with each other and stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's it, Brian. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Hey, brother, I was very humbled to even be asked to be on this show, because you've had some phenomenal guys, and I know many phenomenal guys after me. So I'm an avid listener and learn from every one of them. So,
thank you. And let me know how jiu-jitsu goes. I'd love to hear.
Oh, absolutely. You got it, man. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Have a good rest of the night.
All right. Thanks, brother. Take care.
All right.